Now going back to the cup final team again, that really was an incredibly outstanding team, wasn't it? There's, with starting with Tinus Delport at fullback.
Yeah.
Tremendous player.
Yeah, so I saw Tinus. Our kids are at the same school, Cobbley. I mean, he was sort of, you get guys like Tinus a lot in the modern game of his size, but back in 2002, he's a 6'5" fullback. 16 and a half stone or whatever he was, very powerful. Yeah, he's quite unique, and he gave good go forward. Was it Terry and was it Fanlo and Todd in the centre, or Henry Port?
Henry Port and Terry.
Yeah, and then you had Terry, Marcel and Simon on the wings, wasn't it? So yeah, guys like Terry and Tinus would give you massive go forward. I mean, we had a good pack, but when you've got guys like Terry and Tinus just making meters, a lot of meters, and getting you over that advantage line, and then guys like Marcel and Sinbad and Henry, myself can sort of benefit from that. Out of those wide channels where we played that sort of wide game that season. But to play that, you need your sort of your front five, guys like Tinus and Tez are giving you really good go forward. So, Tinus had a great year that year.
And Ludo Mercier and Andy Bonasol.
I mean, is there a better half-back partnership in the Premiership in terms of giving you field position? Gomes' sort of leadership and box, kicking game, and obviously Ludo's kicking game. Yeah, those two just gave us fantastic field position that year, where we could go and drive lineouts or attack and get into our sort of wide pod system. So, and obviously Ludo would just kick penalties from anywhere. So we became a very tough team to play against that year.
I thought Ludo was underrated as an outside half that year. I'm not saying over the whole of his career, but he had a good year that year, and he had a good all round game that year.
He had a great year. I'd agree with those sentiments.
The front row: Andy Deacon, Ollie Ozan, Trevor Woodman.
Yeah, brilliant again. Obviously Vicks was injured, and he had a bit of a tough run that year from memory with injuries, but I think it's pretty special for Deeks. Get up there, and he was up there with Ollie with getting the trophy, his son. And Deeks played really well, he fielded for Vicks a lot that year, played really well. So there's in many ways Deeks was the starter that year because Vicks was out so much, so there's no issues there. And obviously again Trev and Zed gave you massive go forward with the way we played with the wide, it was our front row making those carries in midfield, and again those guys on the outside channel like myself could benefit from those guys. And then what would it be, Fiddler
and Adam Eustace?
Yeah, because I think Mark Cornwall pulled out with illness or injury on the Friday from memory. Fids and Eustace, obviously two local lads, tough as hell. You knew what you got with them, very good players. I think Fids was obviously a bit of a legend around here. So, and then myself, Hazy and Jake.
Yes.
Junior on the bench, wasn't he?
Junior came on as a replacement. Robert Todd as well.
Yeah.
And Ed Pierce.
Yeah.
Maybe the three that came on.
Yeah. I think Simon Amor on the bench as well.
I've only got the ones that came on here. Because what are they?
I think Simon Amor and even Clive Stuart Smith on the bench. For my point of view, probably my favourite year that year. Good team.
I think with a lot of people it's a favourite year. That's one hell of a team.
My favourite year, unquestionably. Yes. And the best year, I think, all the years I've been watching Gloucester, and Chris has watched even longer. It was my favourite year, and just about the best team to play for Gloucester.
Well, I think if you look at the success, but also the brand of rugby, we had a big old pack who would beat people up, but then when we moved the ball, we were very, very dangerous and scored a lot of tries, and to win it by 15 points that year.
And the promise for the future.
Yeah.
At the time, we thought the sky was the limit, quite honestly, with players like Marcel, yourself, Sinbad.
Yeah, it's exciting time.
You see, towards the end of that season, there was a lot of speculation going on with regard to Tom Walkinshaw and his Arrows businessmen. And so there was a lot of speculation that the money wasn't going to be around for the future. Were the players, did that affect the players in any way? You must have been aware of it.
Yes, so, well, it was all over the press about the Arrows, and we had a few meetings. It was at the end of that season, so from memory, through that following pre-season, we were having meetings about it, and we were being told about some of the issues. And then I think, from memory, you can check the records, but if our first game of the season was Saracens at home that summer, that September, I remember we had a meeting in the Lions Den. So we used to meet in there before games. I remember we had our usual meeting before the game, and I know it was Saracens, but I can't quite remember if it was the end of the former season or the start of the next. But I remember Patrice Collazo stood up and just announced that he was having to leave because for the money problems, and I think they'd come to an arrangement and Patrice was going to move on. I remember he was very emotional. We were all very emotional, and I think it cheered us up, and we went out and played amazing. I think we really beat Saracens very well that day, like 40-odd points from memory. I think we lost some really good backroom staff, a great guy called Wayne Diesel, who moved on to football. I think that might have been, he had options anyway, but yeah. And I think things started to go a bit downhill, obviously, after that, and the investment in the squad wasn't the same. The investment in the backroom staff wasn't the same. So it was a shame, but it's a professional sport, and you know, rugby clubs are pretty reliant on one individual. So
because at the end of that season, both Ollie Ozan and Ludo Mercier left, although they came back again later on.
Yeah.
But do you know if they left because of the financial situation?
I wouldn't swear on my life, but my understanding was yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd done so well, I mean, it made no sense otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think those guys who are on, you know, those top earning guys, or the guys who, because they played so well, were about to ask for that sort of top bracket of money in those days. Obviously there were cutbacks, so some of those guys moved on, and I can't remember if it's whether it was simply, yeah, we can't afford you anymore, or because the money wasn't really there, they got much bigger offers from other clubs, and I can't remember if they're mid contract or at the end of contracts trying to renegotiate. But yeah, my understanding was that we lost a lot of our quality that year because of financial problems.
In the end of that season, of course, you were the PRA Premiership Young Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And also the young player of the year for the sports writers.
Yes. Yeah, honestly speaking, that in many ways as an individual achievement, because if you ask me my favourite achievements of the Gloss Show, it would be the Power Gen. In fact, we won the league by 15 points and then the European Shield. You know, I always say, and I think we all do, is your favourite moment is always those team moments where you win something, a trophy with all your mates, and it's really special.
Yeah.
Those, you know, those few moments in the change room after a cup final when you won, you just can't describe really. So, but in terms of individual achievement, I would rank my RPA award ahead of my England caps. For me, my England career was more of a disappointment because I felt like I should have done better with how many caps I got and all the rest of it. And obviously, my caps were really only off the bench. I had some good moments in an England shirt, you know, against Barbarian in the Barbarians games, but they weren't capped. So that RPA award, you know, it's voted for by your peers, by everyone in the Premiership. So I'd say that award was probably my favourite individual achievement. Because, yeah, we had a great year that year. And, yeah, there were some other great guys nominated. So to win that was pretty special. I'd say in many ways I'm more proud of that than my sort of England cap. So, yeah.
Now, you mentioned the game against the Barbarians, yeah. Playing for England.
Yeah.
You ran in quite a try.
Yeah, I've been dining for that for far too long. It's one of those, again, really special day. My whole family were there. I think that was the summer before, like, Power Gen and stuff, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So I was young, and I was pretty unheard of. I remember I went out for some beers with my old schoolmates. So after the game, the England squad weren't really doing anything as a group. We weren't going out. So we all just got in our cars, and I actually went back to Oxford, and I stayed the night with my mum, and I went out with all my old schoolmates. And I was pretty much unknown, but it was strange that night, you know, because you start to realise you're starting to get recognised, and I was going out in pubs in Oxford, you know, where I'd been going out all my life. I say all my life, I was only 20, I shouldn't have been drinking for very long. I was going to pubs and getting recognised. I remember, I think we got a burger at the end of the night, and in the burger shop some guys were sort of talking to me and stuff. So special day, and my whole family were at Twickenham, and obviously to score a try and sort of for Jonah Lomu to be involved, you know, who was an absolute hero. And I just remember at kickoff, I was just stood on the pitch waiting for kickoff, and I remember I was just staring at him, just couldn't believe, you know, I was on the same pitch as him. And then, yeah, but then I always do caveat it with, he was obviously long way off his best at that point, and I think even then his health wasn't at its best. So you have to sort of caveat that in, but special day. And I think Barbar's had an amazing squad that day, and we had a really young team, a lot of non-caps, and we played really well. And obviously my good mate Sinbad scored a world class, one of the best tries you'll ever see,
yeah.
I think, at Twickenham that day. So yeah, special day. It's actually quite a funny story. Might be quite nice for the archives, but just to mention, so they didn't know at the time, but both James Den and I's girlfriends were at Newcastle Uni, and I think I scored that try first, and my girlfriend jumped in the air and started celebrating, and all her friends are like woo woo woo, and there's a girl at the table next door looking at Jenny thinking that's a bit of an over the top reaction. And then 10 minutes later Sinbad scores his try, and Lucy, who Sinbad's now married to, started going nuts, and then they started talking to each other because they'd never met at this stage. And it turns out they're in the same pub in Jesmond in Newcastle watching the game at the same time. So pretty amazing coincidence. And then we both married Jenny and Lucy. And so good day.